If you're like a lot of people, you might want to just skip the Sermon on the Mount when you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount, chapters 4, 5, and 6, and you might just want to go from chapter 4 to chapter 8 and just leave those three chapters out.
Unless you're Jimmy Carter, who sinned in his heart.
That's right. He was an honest man, wasn't he? The Sermon on the Mount is a summary of Jesus' teaching about ethics, about what is right and about what is wrong. And a lot of people do not want to be told about what is right and what is wrong. Don't preach at me, they say. I can decide for myself. Don't shove that stuff down my throat. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' version of the Ten Commandments. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses goes up the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he gets the Ten Commandments, and he brings them down to the people. And in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up the mountain, just like Moses, and when he gets up on the mountain, he teaches the people about the Ten Commandments. So the Sermon on the Mount is sort of Jesus' version of the Ten Commandments. Now, Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. There were four commandments about God and six commandments about people. See if I can remember them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath. That's the four about God. And the six about people is you shall honor your father and mother, no murder, no theft, no adultery, no false witness, no coveting. Is that 10? Okay. Moses told the people, he says, I'm giving you these commandments for your own good. In our Old Testament lesson today, he said, if you will follow these commandments and keep the ordinances of the Lord your God, then when you come into the land that you're about to enter, you will prosper and you will multiply and you will have a good life. But if you do not keep these commandments, then you will perish. So I tell you today, choose which you're going to do. Do you want to choose life or do you want to choose death? The commandments are for your own good. So maybe the Ten Commandments are enough. Maybe we don't need to get into the Sermon on the Mount where we start talking about them and making them more difficult. Ten Commandments are simple, easy to understand. They're verifiable. You can check the box whether you did that one or not. Murder? No, I haven't killed anyone. Adultery? Nope. Stealing? Not much. And you can go down and decide whether you've made that or not. Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. So maybe that's enough. Maybe we don't need to hear more than that about the Ten Commandments, and we can just skip Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and go to the next chapter. The thing is that when Jesus teaches about the Ten Commandments, he actually makes them harder than Moses did. It's not just the outward act, Jesus says, but it's the inward intention. He says, you have heard it said in the Ten Commandments that you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart against your brother and sister, you have already committed murder in your heart. You have heard it said in the Ten Commandments that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at another person with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery in your heart. It's not just the outward act, in other words, but it's the inward intention that's important. That makes it a lot harder. Jesus has taken the Ten Commandments to another level. I mean, it's easy to say, I haven't ever murdered anyone. But how many of us have never been angry with a brother or sister? Yeah. It's easy to say I've never committed adultery, but how many of us have never had an impure thought? Jesus makes it a lot tougher. If we're really honest, we probably would have to admit that we've broken all 10 commandments. And we continue to. So maybe it's just easier to skip this whole Sermon on the Mount and all this self-examination and introspection that goes with it. The thing is that Jesus knows human beings. He knows what we're like. He knows that some people would never murder, but they might keep a red-hot fury alive in their heart for a long time. He knows that some people would never tell a lie, but they might omit part of the truth or shade part of the truth or sort of dance around the truth. He knows that some people would never ever divorce, but they might be cold as ice, or they might be contemptuous or dismissive for years on end. Jesus knows us. He knows that some of us might never commit adultery, but we might stay up late at night looking at pictures on the computer. He knows that some of us would never steal, but we might just massage the numbers a little bit to be in our favor. Jesus really knows us. The Sermon on the Mount is not an easy teaching. Jesus is pushing us in the Sermon on the Mount. He questions our intentions, and he uses exaggeration and hyperbole. He says, pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. He's trying to get us to think and to examine ourselves. It's not an easy passage. And the reason he does it, I think, is because he knows us so well. But I think he also knows that we really want to please God. And we really want to do what is right. And I think I'd rather be honest and admit that I've failed than to close my eyes and pretend that I'm perfect somehow. You know, once upon a time, there was a king who was very vain and very proud. And he loved to dress up in splendid apparel so that everyone would admire him and say how magnificent he looked. So he would call for all the fashion designers in the kingdom to come and create clothes for him that were resplendent, magnificent, and regal, so that he could go out before the people and they would all admire him. He was never quite happy with the results. And one day into the kingdom came two fashion designers. And they said to the king, we would like to make you a set of clothes, and we have some special cloth. He said, well, come up here and show it to me. So they came to the king and they said, now, there's one thing about this special cloth. People who are incompetent at their jobs or stupid are unable to see this cloth. It's invisible to them. So he said, well, show me the cloth. They said, bring us a table. So they brought a table, and they reached down in their bags, and they pulled out the cloth, and they laid it on the table, and they smoothed it out, and they stretched it out, and everybody was looking at the cloth, all the lords and the ladies in the court. And each one of them thought, I don't see any cloth. But if I say that I don't see any cloth, then everyone is going to say that I'm incompetent and I'll be thrown out of here, or they'll say I'm stupid and I'll be laughed out. And the king himself looked at the table and he didn't see anything on the table either. And he thought, I can't say that I don't see it because they'll say I'm incompetent to be the king. Or I'm stupid. So he said, it's very, very special cloth. Make me a suit of clothes from the cloth. And he said, well, This is very expensive cloth, and it'll cost you 2 large bags of gold. He said, let the gold be brought. So the gold was brought, and the 2 fashion designers started working on the set of clothes. They measured the king very carefully, and they put the patterns on the invisible cloth, and they cut the visible cloth with the scissors, and they spent hours and hours sewing up the invisible cloth with invisible thread. And when they said they were done, they took the king into his bedroom, and they took off his clothes, and they carefully helped him into the new set of clothes, the stockings, and the pantaloons, and the doublet, and the sash, and the overcoat, and the cape, the headdress. And then they brought him out before all the lords and ladies. And the lords and ladies said, oh, it's so beautiful. And they all clapped. And the 2 tailors said, let there be made a procession through the city so that everyone can see the king's clothes. So they sent the trumpets out before, and then the pages with the banners, and the town crier saying, the king, the king! Anyone who cannot see the clothes of the new king's, of the king's new set of clothes, is either stupid or incompetent at their jobs. So everyone in the crowd said, I don't see the clothes, but they wouldn't want to say that to anyone else. And so the procession went through the town until there was a little child who said, but the king doesn't have any clothes on. And at that point, everyone realized that everyone else was thinking the same thing they were thinking, and they began to laugh and point fingers at the king, who was humiliated. He couldn't do anything except continue naked through the town in the procession. And when he got back up to the palace, he was furious. He said, bring me those 2 fashion designers and I will have their heads. But they were long gone, along with the 2 bags of gold. You've probably heard that story before. Well, we can put on a pretty good show and we can fool people. Sometimes all our lives. And we can even fool ourselves sometimes. But we can't fool God. I think I would rather try and fail and admit that I had failed and try again than to try to put on a show and pretend that I was perfect. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you have already committed murder. So, I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. I'm in.